Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 2 of Imported Brew. Oh my gosh, he's rhyming, he's talking up and down. What's wrong with this man? What's wrong with me as I'm still in Latvia? Where the hell is Latvia? It's way up north, kind of by Russia. We don't really talk about it though, because I think they're still listening to me. So anyway, on this episode, we're going to dive into the extracurriculars that is required of a basketball player during his season. What's the diet of a professional athlete looks like, and we're going to culture dive into one of my favorite countries I ever lived in, Israel. So let's do this dance we call life. All right, so for you guys that don't understand everything that goes into a professional basketball player's contract, we'll cover all this in this podcast for sure, but one of the things we're going to talk about today is the team function clause, which states I will show up to all team functions, activities, anything that they really ask of me. And depending on what level you're on and what level team you play on, what level league you're in, how much money the league has, that can vary from a lot of different things. You know, I've seen the top level teams, you know, that my first team had an $8 million budget, and I think my lowest level team had a, you know, maybe a $12,000 or $15,000 budget. It was really small. So each team has different things that you have to do, and these teams, some of these teams get money from your team functions. It just depends on where you are. So, you know, it can vary from, you know, we had a team function when I was in Israel. We had to go and cook and make coffee for one of our main sponsors, which was like a coffee shop. So we went there, and our whole team was, you know, whipping up lattes, chefing things up, and that was pretty fun, actually. You know, you got free coffee, you got to eat some chocolate, had, you know, some delicious food. And that was all right. That was pretty cool. And then, you know, I've had some other weird things where I've had to, you know, be on a commercial. When I lived in Norway, it was a team function for us, and we got to go and be on public television commercials. So, you know, slightly famous, not a big deal, whatever. Wore, you know, cool Shaquille O'Neal jersey because he's the man. But yeah, so certain things like that. And then a lot of times what ends up happening is you also have to coach teams. And it depends on what level you're on and how much, like I said, what level you're in, how much money they have. And a lot of times when you coach these teams, that's how you give, you know, teams will offer you extra money. When I was in Norway and when I was in Malta, both of those things happened where I had to coach teams and coach kids. So when I was in Malta, it was built into my salary that I would go coach twice a week, which, going to be honest with you, some of it was fun. Others was kind of bullshit. To be quite frank, like I had the first day, first of all, the gym was like from, you know, World War II, and it was like a cinder block gym. I'm not kidding you. And it had like a linoleum floor and like two baskets, and all the rest of the baskets were broke. But it was fun because I had, you know, I had 9 to 13 year old girls, and they were actually pretty skilled, and it was really fun to work with them. The next day I had to do 2 days a week. And then the next day I basically just ran like a gym class, which really pissed me off because I had a bunch of little kids that, you know, I can have fun with kids. I'm not, you know, the Grinch or, you know, Shrek, but I was just really over it, mostly because I was tired from my workouts and I didn't have a car in Malta and I rode the bus everywhere, but we'll get into that later. And then when I was in Norway, it was the same thing. I coached a team of, I think 14 and under boys. And they said, you know, we can either pay you extra money for that, which really could have come in handy because Norway is expensive as shit. Or they were like, we can get you a car. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to need that whip because it just makes life easier when you have a car. And especially where I lived out in the boonies in Norway, you know, lived out in the suburbs, and I wanted to get around. And that country was beautiful, and it was the best decision I've ever made. So there's certain things like that you have to do. The reason I bring this up is because this week when I was in Ventspils, Latvia, like I said earlier, it's near Russia. For those who suck at geography, we had a tournament with us. So we had a tournament where we had to coach kids the whole week. We got split up into teams, and then on Friday we had we had the actual tournament where we played each other, and you know, it was group play, and then you know, the finals and championships and all that stuff. And I was paired with one of the young boys, because they paired an import with, you know, a native Latvian, because Latvia has, you know, I've been to a lot of countries that are really good at, you know, really good at having English speaking and being able to understand us. Latvia is definitely not one of them, especially where we are. So we always needed to have somebody who could speak Latvian. So, you know, we could communicate with the kids and tell them what the fuck we wanted them to do. So for us, I got stuck with my young boy Artis, and we got paired with a with the school. It was a Russian school on the other side of the bridge, on the other side of the tracks, basically. And one of my teammates, he suggested I should, you know, bring a knife because that's the rough area. But only joking, all kidding aside, we had, you know, we had four, I think it was 15-year-old kids, and we showed up. They all speak Russian, very limited in Latvian, and almost no English. So, you know, I do really like coaching kids. I had a basketball training business and I ran a bunch of camps, so I'm good with it. But I'm only as good as my ability to communicate, and my communication skills were zero with these kids. It was a lot of pointing and literally just grabbing them and going, "Hey, you should stand over here. Thank you." So for me, it was an interesting week, to say the least. I was pretty hands off. I was pretty tired. We didn't have as crazy workouts as we have a big break right now. But, you know, the day of the tournament, you know, we went through, we evaluated our talent. We tried to put in plays. A lot of these kids never really played basketball. It was rough, to say the least. And then it came to playing, and in the tournament and in the first game, we lost 34-8. And then in the second game, we thought we had a really good chance of winning. And, you know, we built a nice 4-point lead with, like, I don't know, maybe 4 minutes left. And by a 4-point lead, I mean, it was 4-0 with 2 10-minute running halves. And we end up losing 7-6 on a crazy, terrible buzzer beater. And it was awful because all these kids wanted to get into the game. And I understand that, but they sucked. They really were terrible. So we just, you know, we tried to ride our starters out. And I know it's supposed to be fun. Whatever, I wanted to win, and it was just brutal. So, you know, that was what we had going on this week, and that's why I wanted to share this with you. Is, you know, when you're doing your, you know, when you're playing professionally, a lot of times you're asked to do things off the floor to either promote the club, or, you know, sometimes, you know, like when I was in Sweden, we always had to go and talk to schools and train schools because that's how our club would get money. You know, you have to have like a continued education program, and that's very, very common in a lot of countries. Is you got to go to these schools because the state will give the team money, which ends up being, you know, your salaries and stuff like that. So yeah, that's what you do. That's your obligations off the court. Sometimes they're entertaining. A lot of times they suck and you don't really want to be there, but, you know, I've had that all the way through college. Everybody wants to stand next to the beautiful basketball players. Thank you. So next up, what my diet looks like. Yes, I'm going to be a nutrition Instagram model. Yeah. So for those of you guys who are interested, I'm definitely going to start, you know, just really posting a bunch of delicious meals and nutrition and weight loss tips on my Instagram. I'm just fucking around. I'm not doing that shit. But one thing I will say is, as an athlete, you know, it's very important that I take care of my body. And, you know, nutrition is one thing that I try and, you know, do my best at. I'm bored a lot. So, you know, not eating out of boredom is one of the biggest things as a basketball player that, you know, is really challenging. And honestly, my first year abroad, I was eating all the time, and I was a little bit of a fatty no friends, but mostly because I was bored and I just didn't know. And also, Israel has some fucking bomb food. They have deliciousness upon deliciousness. So we'll get into that a little bit later. But yeah, nutrition for an athlete is, you know, before the game, I'll always, you know, try and eat, you know, 3-4 hours before games. Generally, it's, you know, some type of chicken, fish, always some sweet potatoes. You know, those are like some staples and some things like that, is if I can get it. And those are at home games. When we go to road games, depending on where you are, that is just a crapshoot, depending on where you are. You know, a lot of times for nutrition on the road or food on the road, it's always a kind of a shitty hotel buffet. It depends. It varies, obviously. You know, every hotel, some hotels have super good food, some hotels don't have super good food. But I'll be honest with you, and every basketball player has, generally speaking, the same experience. You go to a hotel, if you're on the road, and you have chicken, beef, a couple of salads, some vegetables, and maybe some bread, orange juice and apple juice on the table, and possibly a dessert. And that is what you eat the whole year, every road game. And I've done this for, 9 years now, including college. And we've had this almost the exact same menu for every road game. Every team does it. It's always the same. Very, very, very small changes in that menu. Vegetables might change a little bit, the way they cook the chicken. Oh, I forgot. And they always add spaghetti with some, like, throw-up marinara sauce. I don't understand how hotels can just fuck that up. Like, seriously, it's beef and tomato sauce. What are you guys doing? You just screwed it up. Throw a little salt in there. We're good. But anyway, and for me, you know, nutrition, especially, and food in different countries, is always really interesting to me. Obviously, it's a big part of a lot of cultures, and we'll get into that a little bit in another episode. But, you know, finding the right food, especially when you first show up in a new country, can be really challenging. Like, I love peanut butter, and some places just decide not to have peanut butter, or they make it really fucking expensive, and I don't understand. It's just peanuts. Like, peanuts are, you know, a dollar, and then you just mash it up, and then you want to make it way more expensive. Whatever. Do you guys. Give your, you know, get your money off of me. It's fine. But, yeah. But some of that stuff, you know, comes and goes, trying to find your way, when, especially when you come to a new country. But, you know, like I said, every culture has some very recognizable things. You know, everybody eats chicken. Most places eat beef. Most places eat pork. You know, everybody eats fish. So, you know, you can find some staples. There'll be some variants and sauces and everything like that. And, you know, so there'll be some different vegetables. But for the most part, it's really easy for me to find chicken and rice wherever I go. So, you know, that's not a problem for me. But the problem comes post-game and possibly pre-game on the road, and especially if you got bus trips. So, you know, we'll just take point in case this current season in Latvia. We were on our way to a preseason tournament. We were going to play a Euro Cup team called Liktabalis. And before the game, we didn't stop anywhere. We had a 4.5-hour bus trip. They didn't feed us before we left, so we had to eat on our own. And then when we were really close, we were running a little bit behind. We were supposed to go to the hotel and get a snack. That just didn't happen at all. So then our plan B was the wonderful, wonderful restaurant of Circle K, as in a Circle K gas station, where we were, you know, scarfing down on some pretty terrible pre-made sandwiches, hot dogs, you know, a couple pastries here and there. And then we had to go and go play a game. So that's actually happened quite a couple of times here, where, you know, we just couldn't get in to either a restaurant or a cafe before we left. And we, you know, we always stop and get snacks and, you know, all the wonderful things that a convenience store and a gas station has to offer for, you know, high level athletes. Oh my God. Like, I love eating Snickers bars, some like fusion green tea, and like a bag of nuts before I'm about to go play 30 minutes. That's just like, that's what gets me fucking going. You know what I mean? Gets the adrenaline pumping. I'm ready. As you can see, I'm clearly traumatized. I'll work that shit out later in therapy. But, you know, that's sometimes what happens. And then obviously post-game, it depends on how good your operations guy is and how organized your club is. Some teams I've been on, you get on the bus, they got food for you right away after the game. A sandwich, something, they got water, like, they'll take care of you because, you know, we're athletes and we just put forth a pretty big effort. And maybe you'd want us to recover. Maybe, you know, some food would be nice for our muscles because we're going to have practice tomorrow. Got it. No, we're not going to do that. You know, the team I play for right now, you know, it depends on how far we are from Riga. We've had games that, you know, we're 2.5 hours from Riga, you know, so we have a 5 or 6 hour bus trip. So we get off, you know, we get done with our game, and then we got to go and wait, you know, 2 hours to go get this, like, kind of BS, I don't know. It's very questionable. Walk place, because I say it's questionable because it's a burger and a walk place. So it's like cheeseburgers and Asian walk, and you can't decide, so you go to one spot. It makes me feel like I'm in that fucking Seinfeld episode where they make that dude change his restaurant like 4 times because they just all can't decide on one. Whatever. Anyway, So that always depends. And like I said, a lot of times after games, we, you know, we dine in at Circle K. You know, a lot of hot. I've had a lot of hot dogs this year. A lot of you know, semi questionable protein bars, some smoothies, and a hell of a lot of Snickers bars post game, which is clearly not the best nutrition, you know. But I try and stay away from sugar now because it's beach season. Fucking beach season! I couldn't be more excited. But yeah, that's what nutrition looks like. Depends on what it is. It's what you know. It's what we eat out here. And I'll get into some more, you know, delicious foods and where I lived and everything like that. You know, favorite foods and stuff like that in later podcasts. But up next, culture dive into Israel.